Got a little confession. Wouldn't say it's like a full-blown phobia, but every once in a while I get like afraid, like, oh, what if I passed out on air? Like, I'll think about that. It's just like an anxiety. I don't know what's the trigger. Happens a lot whenever I do TV, doing TV Monday. So there, you can know that when I do TV this week. I think it's because when YouTube started first popping, when it was like back in the day for the olds, when we had like Grape Crush Lady who, ow, like that age. There was one video of like a newscaster just passed out on air. I actually think they may have had a stroke. It was sad, but it went viral. It was really funny. I went, God, I hope that never happens to me. And today I took supplements on an empty stomach. I came in here, all my luggage, trying to get out of here for today. Going to go see some family, going to get away for a couple of days. And I'm like sweaty, I'm hot. We get in the studio, there's no AC. The lights are bright. Mike is ruining my morning as always. Yeah, this could be the day. Anyways, Jackie Redmond, NHL Network, the Jackie Redmond Show. You ever worry about passing out on air? You ever think about that? Or did I just put that in your brain right now?
Well, I'm thinking about it now, yeah. And I'm thinking about not wanting to take supplements on an empty stomach.
It's stupid because I'm going away, and I went, I'm not going to take all these to the prior with me for a few days. I'm just going to fire these back, and it's like huge mistake. Like, these are not meant to be in an empty stomach. When they say take with food, they mean it for this exact reason. I feel disgusting. My insides are destroyed. And these are supposed to be good for you. Like, these are supposed to be making me healthy. I don't feel that way. I don't think that's what they actually do.
Yeah, there is a reason they say to take it with food. I have the caffeine shakes right now.
Oh,
I'm not
really
quite sure why, because I'm drinking the normal amount of coffee that I always drink. But so I have a little bit of that going on. I've never worried about passing out on air. I do have an anxiety about like just drawing a blank in the middle of an interview or something and completely forgetting where I was going. That has happened to me once, and it you feel truly like a deer in headlights. Yeah. Like, just, you want to just teleport out of the moment immediately.
No, but I think that happens to everybody. That's the one that's so embarrassing for me is I'm so long-winded that sometimes I'll be talking and I'm like, wait, what was going on here? Like, I'm like an old man who's like, why am I at the grocery store? What was I here for? Like, that sucks. And then you go, you know? And then the person's kind of like scrambling because they zoned out because you're boring and it was crazy what you just said. That sucks. But no.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I do respect that in that moment you just say, you know, as in like trying to pass the buck and make the other person look stupid for not knowing the chances that you just went on.
Yeah, I don't know how to defuse this bomb. Here you go, you know? Damn it. No, I don't want to deal with this. You deal with this.
Respond to that, co-host.
Yeah, exactly.
Make that make sense.
You know? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to close this with something. Mike did something today last night that I think is just like beyond abhorrent. He was telling me about it. And yeah, I think it's actually disgusting. I was blown away that he would do such a vile, vile thing. But we got to start with some sports stuff. Okay, so we haven't talked in a while. I wanted to catch up. You've been busy. You got like a billion jobs. You're on television every single day. You're a big celebrity. We're late in the Leafs run here. We're in the dead of summer. You've had some time to process this. How are you feeling right now about the Leafs, just in terms of what appears to be yet another run at back season, another year with the core four, another year where it doesn't even look like they put the screws to anybody in terms of moving no move clauses, another year where a star is going to be going. I feel like I'm leading the witness here, but yeah, how are you feeling right now about the Leafs?
Well, you start that question by saying, you know, you've had some time to process, but like, time to process what?
Yeah.
There's a new coach, a couple of additions to the blue line that are fine, that are I like them, but they're not, I don't think those are groundbreaking. We're winning a Stanley Cup now additions. I don't think there's a lot to process, which is, I guess, just it's underwhelming, right? And I guess if the core four is going to remain and we are going to run it back and it is going to be a lot of the same going into this season, then the only question that really matters is can a new coach, can Craig Berube, have a big enough impact to actually get this team over the hump in the playoffs, because that's all that matters. I know, I feel like I'm just living the same year over and over again when it comes to the Leafs, because we're going to have the same conversation. The regular season will be good. I think we all know that, especially with some of the teams in the division, I think, getting worse. But we always think that we know, and then we go into a season and a team comes out of nowhere and has success that we think is going to take a step back, or a team that we think is taking a step forward or is going to be better isn't. So all that matters is what we think about the Leafs roster. And right now, I don't look at that roster on paper and go, this is a team that's a bona fide Stanley Cup contender. And I still have people say to me sometimes, especially on Twitter, oh, like, why is it always cup or bust with the Leafs? It should be about just getting out of the first round. Always. No, that was not the goal when Brendan Shanahan
came to town
a million years ago. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Lower expectations. Expectations are too high. I've had people in hockey say expectations are too high for the Leafs, particularly last year. And maybe there's a case to be made for that. But I think if you're looking at it big picture and not just within the framing of 1 year, the expectations should be the Stanley Cup. That should be every team's expectations. But certainly for a team that has the caliber of talent up front that the Leafs have had for almost a decade now.
Yeah, no, I'm not even. I get to do this move for one. I'm not even going to dignify those people's response. Like the idea that there's too much pressure on a team that hasn't won since 1967, that went in the tank for a couple of years and just decided to really try and rebuild. Like when you do a rebuild, and then especially when you pay high-end talent, high-end picks, a ton of money. I'm doing the response. Like, no, sorry. But yes, the expectation is that you're going to win championships. Like you want to win championships. The idea that anyone would ever be satisfied with a first-round exit, that's insane. That's like, you remember Giannis Antetokounmpo a couple of years ago when his team lost to Miami? He stood at the podium. He's like, is it a failure to make friends? And you were like, wait, what's happening here? Like, what are you talking about?
I did enjoy that speech, I won't lie.
Oh my God, you would. It's like, I don't go on Facebook anymore. Like, I don't even know what my password is for it. Like, I can't get on there. But my understanding of what Facebook is now is just basically people who post, like, repost, like the kind of stuff that you would see in your mom's place, like shoot for the stars. If you miss, you'll hit the moon or something, you know, like
live, laugh,
yeah,
love.
Yeah. Like it's kind of that. You're my live, laugh, love friend, where almost every day you post something that's like the lion doesn't pay attention to the sheep. And I go, yeah, right. And like, let the haters weep. You love that stuff. Gary Vee, that stuff is like that. That gets you going.
Stop
you
it.
Love it. You start every day with a
Stop
cup of
it.
Coffee
We're
and a Gary Vee
right
quote.
Now on the air.
Yeah.
We are going to fight right now on the air because, okay, I did at one point. I really was a Gary Vee fan at one point, but I am off that wagon.
Oh,
I
you're off that
off
drug?
That
you
wagon.
Got you needed harder drugs.
For years.
You needed harder quote drugs.
For
you're like,
years.
Oh, for years. I know. You
I've
would like
been
go
off
to
the
conferences.
Gary Vee train for years.
Yeah.
But I have lately been on a run of reposting some motivational speeches.
Yeah, that's what I'm
so
saying.
I can't debate that. You love
that stuff. You thrive with that stuff. That is actually working on you. That stuff I hear for a second, and then I go, like, I forget it 2 seconds later. I was actually pissed because the one that I liked.
You know what?
Well, go ahead.
You're such a hater.
Yeah, I am.
You're such a hater.
I know. Welcome to the show.
On people trying to feel good.
Yeah.
And speeches and motivational things that make people feel good.
Yeah.
And you're hating on it.
How long have you and I been friends?
Forever.
Yeah. When have I not been that?
You're right. You are who you are, and I am who I am. So you should just accept it.
I do. That's why it's a good friendship. That's why it's a good friendship. But I've the idea that I've become a hater. How dare you? I've been hating since day one. I've always been a hater. I'm an original hater.
This is who I am at my core.
Yeah.
I've always been this way.
I've always been hating.
The Leafs. What's that?
I said I've always been hating. Anyways, going back to the Leafs.
Yeah, so you've always been hating, and I've always been attempting to inspire myself and others.
Be positive.
So whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. And hopefully the Leafs can get out of their current lane because it ain't working.
No.
So something's got to give. And I just don't know that a coach, as much as I was, you know, part of the train of Sheldon Keefe, you know, needed to go a couple of years ago, I still don't know that a coach is enough to make such an impact that all of a sudden you go from being good to great. Oh, no. We've seen Craig Berube do that with the St. Louis Blues, but that was like a miracle once in a lifetime like type of run. What I do like is that when he did take over the St. Louis Blues halfway through the season, was that he was unafraid in his decision-making, and when he made decisions, he stuck to them, right? Like, he rode Jordan Binnington. Obviously, once he started winning, that probably was a hard decision to make, but to lean on Jordan Binnington during that run, to make the decisions that he made and to stick with them, I like and respect, and I hope that that changes the culture of the Leafs a little bit in terms of, like, if Craig Berube is going to bench someone, he's going to bench them, not for a shift. He's not going to apologize for it 2 days later. He's not going to call the team soft and then walk it back. Like, this is a man that's going to stick to his guns, and so hopefully that carries a lot of weight, at least in the beginning, for the roster and for the Leafs. But again, I don't know how far that goes in terms of doing better in the postseason. I still think the roster is flawed. And I don't, this Marner thing, I like Marner as a player, but I do think that they should trade him. And I know that they're in a tough spot because they've waited this long to make this type of move. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is where you're at. Everyone knows your hand. Everyone knows the cards that you have. So you got to find a way to make the best deal that you can and then make the most of the roster space, whatever it is or whatever it looks like post-trade. I don't see how you go in again with the same core that just can't get it done together. Like, yeah. Something's got to give.
No, I think it's wild. I do think there's reasons for optimism when it comes to some cultural stuff where you go, you're right. I do think Berube is a good coach, and I think that he is a powerful figure. I think he's at the very beginning of the run. But then you literally think about it, this is just not that era where I think a coach comes in and has that same level of pull. These guys are all making 10 plus million at this point, right? Like, William Nylander's getting his money. Auston Matthews getting his money. Even Mitch Marner, who's like in a contract year, he's still going to get his money. I just don't know.
They're going to get their money, but have they ever been told, like, did Sheldon Keefe ever truly, truly, you know, do something or make a decision where he was telling Mitch Marner no in terms of the deployment on the, do you know what
he
I mean?
Benched, like, him,
yes,
on that
there's
one
money.
West
they're
Coast
gonna
trip.
Get their money.
Yeah, he benched him on that one West Coast trip and then basically walked it back
for, like,
immediately.
A shift, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And wasn't it for like one shift? I was like,
it was a couple
minutes.
That's
not even
yeah.
a real benching. Yeah. Like, that's like nothing.
Yeah.
45 seconds. Woo. What an impact. Oh my God. I can't believe Mitch Marner had to sit for 45 seconds extra. Big deal. I'm so over that. Everyone brings that up. That was a nothing.
No,
Berger.
I get it.
It was nothing.
I get it.
The fact that Keith had to walk that back,
no,
maybe that wasn't Keith. Maybe he was told by his superiors he had to, like, go out and do what he did or stick up for them or whatever. I don't know. But, like, that's a joke. It was a joke then. It's a joke now.
Here's my...
Sorry.
Here's
it.
No, it's fine. But you know why he walked it back, right? Is I don't think it's like a failing of his constitution. Like, I'm with you. I was not a Sheldon Keefe defender. I didn't think, like, this guy was doing a phenomenal job. I thought that he got coached multiple times in the postseason and that there was clearly enough of a track record to move on. And then, during an offseason, which was last offseason, where they really should have made some changes, including that was the time to trade Mitch Marner before the trade no move clicked in. That was the time to fire Sheldon Keefe early and get a new coach. But they ended up having the disaster class, which was they finally won a first round. They offered Kyle Dubas a contract extension. He overplayed his hand, and it became all this drama. Shanahan became the champion of the people for a minute because he got to play the pop line of, if you don't want to be here, get out. People couldn't stand Dubas. And then when the dust settled, you kind of went, oh, wait, Dubas, for all of his flaws, he was probably the guy that knew the most that this needed to have a change. He lost the power struggle, and Shanahan, in the wake of it, ended up just trying to, like, consolidate his resources, consolidate his players, and it ended up with what we have today, which is, I'm not going to say a disaster, but something that isn't very palatable to fans. I don't think something that represents, you know, an overly optimistic season that we have here. Like, there's a lot for it. But just when it was like sticking with the coach thing, I really like Berube. But the reason why Keefe walked that back is because things do get intense from social media and media, and that bothers these players. And so if stuff like that happens, if those guys are held, quote unquote, accountable publicly, the stuff that we can actually see, I'm not sure it's going to resonate with those guys. I think they hate that stuff because you've seen it before with Mitch Marner, where he like complains about the media and complain. And this is when times have been kind of fine. He'll bring that kind of stuff up. So to me, it's going to be a lot of the private things that Berube does, the way that he's going to try to build their trust, whether or not it's going to have a step forward. I don't think that these guys respond well at all to the stick. I think it's very much like new age players, new age workers, whatever. There's no, the discipline stuff, I don't think works as well.
Well, they just had that with Sheldon Keefe. So I guess we'll see if Craig Berube can do it differently behind the scenes to a point where they are able to shed some of that. I think Mitch Marner in particular is the most sensitive to it. And I think that,
no question.
I don't even mean that as a slight. I actually think Mitch Marner cares immensely about the success of the Toronto Maple Leafs to a point where it's almost a detriment to his own performance. I think he really, really cares, but it's to a fault. And so, I mean, we even just saw his charity golf tournament or whatever doing the media rounds. Like, people weren't allowed to ask questions about the hockey team when they were interviewing him for promotional purposes for that. And you want it to be about the charity. I get that. But I've sure, interviewed a lot the, of players yeah. in the offseason doing golf tournaments. I've
I was
never
gonna say, as, when has there ever been a charity
me.
Tournament like that?
I've never been given like a, hey, you can't ask any hockey questions.
His media wasn't even allowed
interview.
To go. It was like non-traditional
so,
media only.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to, like, pile on Mitch Marner for that decision or his camp making that decision. But, like, to me, like, that is such a big part of the problem. It's like, I'm sorry that it's hard. I'm
no
sorry
kidding.
That there's pressure. I know that it's not easy. I am, like, a little, like, tiny little ant compared to, like, the level of criticism that Mitch Marner would have to deal with. But, like, I don't like what I get on social media sometimes. But, like, this is
no one does.
The, this is the hand that you've been dealt. It's a pretty effing good one when you consider the money you make, the fact that you are looked at, to use Mitch Marner's words, as a sort of god in the city that you play in. Like, there's always going to be negatives that come with it, and you want to play here. You don't want to waive your no move clause. You don't want to leave all this stuff. Okay, fine. If you're going to own that and you yeah. got that in your contract negotiations, that's all fair. But at least, like, be man enough to answer for it, to be like, I'm going to, like, use my power and use my tools that I've earned by being one of the best players in the league to stay where I want to stay and
yeah.
play in Toronto and not move until it's out of my hands, then at least answer to it.
I totally
like,
agree.
To me, I just thought that was like a Bush League move.
I completely agree. Listen, again, the easiest cop-out, and I think almost basically the lamest thing was to always be like, oh, he just wants to focus on the charity. I was like, yeah, that'd be one thing if it was not a pattern of this over and over and over again. You're in one of the hottest off seasons ever that a player has had. And it's part of the reason why I've never understood. Like, this is what I talk about when it comes to comfort and lifestyle is, yeah, this guy obviously is very comfortable in the city, like likes to go to his local golf course, plays there, has his friends here, has his family here, doesn't want to move. But when it comes to the hockey, it's clear that this is not the best place for him anymore, right? Like, it's not.
And here's the thing. Yeah. What a wasted opportunity, right, for Mitch Marner at this event be asked about the situation, which is obviously very, it's a headline. It's going to get views. It's going to get read, whatever. And there's, it's,
but no
it's
one's going to crush. Exactly. No one's going to crush him there at a charity event.
What an opportunity to make up for the way you answered some of these questions at the whatever exit interviews or whatever at the end of the season. What an opportunity to make up for that and to endear yourself to a fan base by telling them how much you care about them, about bringing them success, about what it actually means to you to play in Toronto. Because I don't think it's about being looked at as a god for Mitch Marner. I think that he sometimes crumbles under the pressure of a question when the season is over. But a good PR team to me would have said, Mitch, this is an awesome opportunity for you to actually make yourself a little relatable to this fan base with how much you care and how much you hate losing and how much you want to be part of the solution and just speak from the heart about wanting to stay here and not wanting to leave. The amount of I don't want to say pressure he could have taken off of himself, but the way he could have endeared himself to the fan base was right there for him to have. And instead, they chose the opposite direction, which is don't say anything, don't even talk about it, which doesn't make you relatable to anybody.
Jackie, this is the same.
Anyway.
Like, again, I understand that we really pick apart this player and we pick apart the Leafs and we do a lot of conversation, but that's because people here really care. And again, it's at the very end of depending on what your thoughts are and whether he resigns, but it's coming to the close of the core four, you would assume. We're at this point where, yes, everything is highly scrutinized. He's wearing the brunt of it. He's probably wearing more than he should just in comparison to what Matthews is getting right now or what Nylander's getting. So, like, I understand those things, but I said kind of a similar thing when he had the exit interview and he said the comment about we're like gods here. That was a genuine moment where they were going to ask him, what does it mean to be a Maple Leaf to you? And all he needed to do was actually reach in his bag of authenticity and go, here's what it actually does. And instead he gave that weird God answer. Now he's doing the, like, I'm not going to talk to the media stuff. Buddy, the only way to get, what's your motivational quote here? Is the only way is through? What is that one? The only way forward is through. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
That's it.
If this guy would just, if I was advising, I'd be like, dude, if you just stare down the eye of the tiger here and go, I know there's going to be a ton of scrutiny, I'll let it come. Like, So I just saw, I tried to watch the new season of that show, The Boys. You know that show? It's like the Amazon.
Yeah, I love that show. I haven't watched the new season yet, but I do like it. Yeah.
The main character, she got a ton of plastic surgery done, like on her face. And it like became a huge controversy because people were like, holy crap, like she got, like she doesn't even look like the same person. And if you Google the side-by-sides, you're like, holy, it's pretty intense. And then what did she do? She just like went to Instagram and she said something like hate away or something. She posted a picture of her face and she was just like get it all out or some line like that. When I was Googling, I was like, damn, that's pretty fire. You know, like she just went, yeah, take your shots. I was like, that's kind of what you should do is say that you're not afraid of it by actually putting yourself out there in a vulnerable position. Do a media round. Talk about why you want to stay. Talk about, like, open up about it. That's the way to ingratiate yourself with the fan base. The whole, like, I'm going to hide thing. I'm not going to address anything. I'm going to speak in, like, very small segments whenever I'm forced to do any kind of media. I'm only going to do stuff that's completely controlled by me through using cool Instagram figures. Like, it's just so lame. And none of it resonates. And all of it is only going to make the situation worse. And that's the thing that I genuinely do not understand. I get it. His life here must be awesome. He must actually love living in Ontario. His camp obviously desperately wants him to be here. But I just look at it and go, man, for personal growth, you'd have two options. One is to do the only way is through approach and just stare it down and try to take the hometown discount and say you'll do anything to be here. Or to just grow up and be willing to stake your positioning, move somewhere else. You know, like go... the best thing for him this offseason would have been, hey, I'm willing to go to a bunch of different places. Like, I know this doesn't work for you guys. Like, I'm open to listening. And then not go anywhere, but just listen on trades. Like, open that door and see what happens. See what opportunities would have come up for you. I think that all of this has been handled so poorly. This season's going to be drama. And
the thing is, I will say this. I'll say this too. Like, it's not all on Mitch Marner. Like, people out there.
Of course it's not.
Need to realize
it's on, this
that he
is
does
Brendan
have
Shanahan's
entire. I was just talking about the way Mitch Marner and his camp have handled it. Like, it's not just him deciding how to play these things, right? Like, he's a multi-million dollar athlete.
Sure,
with
he's 26 or 27 now. It's like you got to take control of the reins, bud.
And I'm not sitting here being like, it's easy to be Mitch Marner right now, because it's not. I don't envy the position at all. And again, like, I can't say this enough, because the second that you say anything critical about Mitch Marner, his sort of supporters will say that you're a hater. You don't. I think Mitch Marner's an incredible, incredible player. I think if he leaves or when he leaves, he's probably going to have an immense amount of success somewhere else, probably going to win a cup, and people are going to be like, they should never have got rid of him. But sometimes, people have been bringing up Nazem Kadri, right? oh, well, he left and he fixed himself and then he won and he had this amazing year, the year that the Avs won the Cup.
He was loved, though. He was that, like, Wesley Snipes meme with the gun.
To bring up another, like, type of quote, was Kadri able to do that because of what he went through in Toronto, because the trade devastated him to his core to the point that he became a different person because he, like, grew through what he went through, to use an inspirational quote? Like, sometimes that is why you're able to find success, is because something like that happens to you and you're able to finally shake it off and go, okay, I need to change, or I need to just accept what this is and not care about it so much. I think if Mitch Marner actually just cared a little less, he would probably be doing himself a massive favor. Like, he needs a little bit of that, like, William Nylander swag of, he tells us he doesn't care a lot, Mitch Marner. He says it, but I don't know that he means it all the time. If he could actually care a little bit less, I think it would take an immense amount of the weight off of his shoulders, because he carries it. He does, whether he wants to admit it to us or not. Anyways, yeah. I can't keep going, but I did look up the quote that you were trying to say,
the only
way out is through, yeah. And it's from American poet Robert Frost. Yeah. I Googled it.
Yeah, I am a Robert Frost guy, so I should have known that. That's a good one. And that is, the only way out is through, is the one. That is the one. That is the truth. Robert Frost nailed it. Jackie, post that one later. Put that in the Instagram story today.
Post it on Instagram and tag
Mitch Marner? Yeah, exactly.
I don't have the balls.
Yeah,
I won't do it.
Guess what? It's called instant block. You do that. That's an instant blockaroo. You fire that one up.
Maybe a call from the Leafs. I don't know.
Yeah, that might end up being one. Okay, so speaking of the Leafs, I posted on Twitter after the England loss. I posted my top 10 loser franchises, and I just threw it out. Okay. I didn't even, like, rank it. It was like from a gut. It took me 2 seconds. I didn't put any thought behind the list. It was just who popped in my brain first when I thought about losers, because England soccer, they're incredible chokers, right? They get there and then they lose in embarrassing fashion and in crushing fashion. And I put the Leafs there. I don't have the list in front of me, but I'll get it up. But it's like Leafs, England soccer. I put the Detroit Lions, even though I think that they're trending in a direction where they're gonna jump off that list. I put the Buffalo Bills, the Charlotte Hornets, the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets. I did put Jets, and it was funny because a lot of Winnipeg Jets fans thought it was about them, and I was like, I mean, maybe. It's not like you've done too much. You're kind of losers, too. You got embarrassed again this year. And then a few other franchises that I fired the list there. Here's the question I have for you, though, because now I've actually thought about it, and I wanted to bring this to you. People all were coming at me with who their favorite loser franchises were, and I went, no. It's got to be, to me, it's a combination of the things that make a loser franchise are, one, you're just never there. Like, you're a perennial loser. Like, that's why the Detroit Lions are there. It's awesome that they were amazing last season. I'm on the Lions bandwagon. I'm going to go to a game there this year. I love that team. They're young. They're hungry. They've got a ton of blue chip guys. They're trending in the right direction. But forever, they've just, like, not even been there. They don't even make the playoffs. They're irrelevant. It's the same thing with the Charlotte Hornets. They're not even there. They're so off the map. Seattle Mariners, never there. So far off the map. That was another one of losers. But what do you think is the greater defining loser trait? To never be there, to be like what the Lions were, or to be like the Bills, where you get there, and I know they went a long time without even making the playoffs. They had a huge streak. But, you know, when you're the team that everyone thinks is going to lose, like when you're the Leafs, for example, recently, where they're the ultimate loser because they haven't won since 67. They haven't won since there were six teams, and they choke in the big spots. But what is your, like, defining loser characteristic? Never being there or feeling like they're going to lose and then they always lose when they do get there, like England soccer?
I think getting there and always losing is worse.
Yeah.
Because when you never make it there, you lack relevance in general. But, like, the Maple Leafs, the reason they are just, like, what is the number one favorite thing for non-Leafs fans to do is make fun of the Leafs. And people will hate that I'm saying that, but it's fact.
No, the Leafs are the number one losers. The Leafs are the number one losers. They're the GOAT losers. There's just no doubt about it.
Number one losers. Number one team joked about in hockey forever, and they've earned it.
And everybody knows about the Leafs in other sports. Like, if you go down to Texas, right, and you're like, do you know about the Leafs? And they go, oh yeah, losers, right? Like, that's their whole thing. Don't
yeah,
y'all lose?
Yeah, their talking transcends the sport. It transcends. Like, there are people that truly know nothing about hockey, but they know that you make fun of the Leafs.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, ain't they always losing? It's like, yeah, they are. They're always losing.
Like, I love that we went, Southern America for like,
well, that's who
that
doesn't know.
Hockey,
like, yeah, you know, you go below a certain parallel and hockey disappears outside of like the people who are in the arena and mostly went there for like air conditioning.
Yes, but I assume that I assume that this is your viewpoint as well, because if you're just never making the playoffs, then like you probably haven't had a good enough team to get there. Whereas the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially in this era, have been glorified as this like powerhouse offensive team, and then they get to the playoffs and suddenly they can't score goals anymore. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing because you're on the stage and failing. But for teams that never make it, you're not on the big stage. You're just failing in your market, which still sucks, but it's not the same. It's not the same level.
Yeah, so I probably should have put the Cowboys on my list then, because they won in 96, I think, is their last Super Bowl, which it, to me, in my brain, as a millennial, is not like that long ago, even though it's shockingly long ago. It's so far back.
No, don't point it out.
It's the worst how far back it is. Like, Mike Jose, were you born in 96? Yeah, that's disgusting. Leave. but they get there and they lose every single time, and they always do it in embarrassing fashion because they get they get a ton of hype. But that being said, there's also, I think, England, the Leafs, and why the Cowboys always, I think, get lumped in with them is because they have the main character syndrome, where media speaks about them the most, right? When England soccer is in the Euro, they get the most coverage. Leafs get the most coverage. Cowboys get the most coverage. So everything is always perceived through their lens. So people enjoy when they lose even more so, because other fan bases know what's going on with them more than I would say the average run-of-the-mill fan knows about, like my Seahawks. Nobody knows what's going on with the Seahawks, 100%. But they know what's going on with the Cowboys. So there's like an added layer of that I don't know how to remove, but the Leafs are just, they check all the boxes. They were relevant for a long time. You know, they've gone long stretches. They've gone incredibly long stretches without winning even playoff series. They suck. That's why I had a segment called Losers Like the Leafs, is because you can relate every losing franchise to the Leafs, because they are the creme de la creme since the Chicago Cubs won one.
I did not see that segment. I want to go watch it though.
Oh, I did it for a couple of years. It was just like whenever people would be like the 76ers, for example, they would go, oh, the 76ers, they're falling apart. They're losers. And I would go, they're losers like the Leafs. Here's the everyone. Whenever a team and
sorry,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. I didn't mean to cut you off. But you do raise a really valid point about the main character thing.
Yeah.
Because the Leafs, like they're so popular, not just with hockey fans in terms of having a large fan base, but the media hypes them up so much every single year, no matter what their roster looks like. They're getting the most coverage a lot of times. An inflated, like players and what they're capable of are inflated. It's like there's a reason that like the most popular people are also like in high school, right? Like the most popular people are also like the most hated, like secretly, because you're like, why is this person so popular? And the least, like, they're like, they look really good, but there's like nothing else there, you know?
Yeah, I get it. No, I completely agree. Like, I think that is definitely a big part of why they are hated. Although I was mentioning to you, I saw a poll. The account Jay Fresh is a great Twitter account and hockey Twitter.
Yes, I did see the poll.
He posted that.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that it's not a good representation. I'm sorry to Jay Fresh. I think he does great work, but I don't think the polls are very.
I love Jay Fresh.
Yeah, but I think that poll sucks. Yeah, no offense, Jay Fresh.
Well, the reason is I don't want to speak incorrectly here, but I'm pretty sure when I read it, it said something about how the way they do that poll is they just randomly present two teams to a person. Like, they'll go Vegas or Montreal, who would you rather cheer for?
And
then they answer it, and I'm like, well, that's an incredibly flawed way to do the poll.
I don't want to.
You're giving us a person two teams to pick from, and they're picking who they would cheer for.
Yeah, no, Leafs are the most hated in Canada by far. Like, and I've I've said this many, many, many times before, but that's the way I like it. Because if the Leafs were ever to do something, I want the nation in a fear vice grip where they're like, oh my God, no, we're going to hear about this forever. Like, I only have a couple people in my life that are English soccer fans, like only a couple. And I was so happy when they lost. I was thrilled because I never want to hear them be happy. Part of it too is I don't want the Leafs to be just kind of standing alone. Like, England is basically the only one that you can really say is like the Leafs, even though people will say, oh, they get to the finals. Shut up. You never win. You're England. Like, it's not the same. Congrats. You beat Macedonia. Like, I don't care. That if the Leafs got to play Macedonia equivalent, they would be in the finals a lot too. Like, it's a different ball game. I don't ever want to hear about England fans who go, we get to the finals. They're the only losers like us. The only ones we used to have were the Blackhawks, and they won one, and then the Cubs, and the Cubs got off the schneid. And now the Leafs are at the top of the loser pile when it comes to franchises. They're worse than the Knicks. They're worse than the Sixers. They're just like, they're the worst. They're worse than the Cowboys. You know what a Leaf fan would do to have had a Stanley Cup in 96? Like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. In hockey, Canadian hockey terms, that's yesterday. That's last week. So no, would have killed for that. All right. We got to go here. We only got a couple minutes. I got to get your advice on this mic thing. I want to talk about you missing a flight because that gives me anxiety when you text me about it. But Mike had a friend. He's explained it to me very shortly. I told him to keep it for the show. You had a friend show up at a bar who missed his flight, and he asked you if he could crash, and you said no because your girlfriend hates him?
That's exactly the story. Yes.
You're the worst.
That is exactly the story.
That's like...
Well, there's a lot to be considered here. Why does the girlfriend hate the friend? I don't know if we can get into this on the radio.
The only way that this would be acceptable is if they slept together.
No. He's a bit much.
So what?
He's just your friend. Over the top.
So, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
I hung out
it?
With him all day.
He's a bit much, and you hung out with him all day. Where was he going to stay? Did he have other friends in the city?
I got him another friend to come let him crash there. So I did help out. I think it makes it worse that I'd crashed at his place in New York just a couple weeks ago for a few days.
Wow, man. You have no character.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like an unbalanced friendship to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like one person is taking more than they're giving.
I was going to say, like, I think that is, of all the codes that there are in friendship, a friend who gets stranded in a city and asks you to stay, like, that, it doesn't matter what's going on in your... You could have other people staying at your place. You're basically come from away. You got to let people stay in the gym.
He went through a breakup like a year ago, and he slept on my couch for like 2 weeks. So I have put him up before.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He was in a time of need. Like Jackie, time of need, friend supersedes everything. Like, I'm sure your husband has a friend who you hate. And I'm sure there's one. Picture that guy in your mind's eye, and he needs a place to stay because he's stranded. Like, you would never deny that.
No, I've actually been in this exact situation.
Yeah, okay. With the hated friend.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah.
No one likes it.
I'm not saying I like it.
But I allowed it.
Yeah.
I do have one other follow question. Did you ask your girlfriend, or did you just assume that she wouldn't be okay with it?
I was at the bar with her. I was with her, and I gave her a look, and it was clearly like I had to stop. Like, I wasn't allowed. I would have liked it. It would have been fine for me.
You two belong in a trial. You should be going to The Hague. This is the only... It's war crime tribunals.
Bad karma points right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it really is.
Bad karma points.
It was. And he was pretty upset.
Yeah, of course. Who denies that? Like, that is the ultimate. You cannot deny.
I felt bad.
I cannot think of anything that is a more automatic, obviously, you have to say yes.
Listen, if I couldn't get him another place, I would have, like, tried very hard.
Oh, you would have tried really hard. See, you couldn't even say, I would have let him stay there. That's outrageous. Anyways, that's enough of you. We got to go. Jackie, thanks as always for making time for the show. Thanks for weighing in on that. I needed a woman's perspective as well on that because I was like, wait, is this just a, like, no. And you agree. So yeah, Mike to jail. Jackie Redmond, Jackie Redmond Show, WWE, NHL Network, all the places. Thanks for making time.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thanks for having me. Bye.
See you, Jackie. All right. Oof, Mike. Michael. How could you do that to a friend? As I can't even imagine him looking in your eyes and going like, hey, man, so my flight got delayed. I need a place to crash. Hey, man, I got to stay.
His flight was canceled.
Yeah, canceled. Hey, man, I'm stranded here. I'm at the bar with all my luggage. I got all my stuff. I'm pretty screwed. Hey, man, sorry to put you out. Can I crash your plane? No. Sorry. Yeah. Me and my girlfriend just exchanged a snooty, horrible glance with one another.
She wouldn't have let it. She would not. And she's...
You have no hand.
She's a bully. She's a big bully. She would have bullied me.
You have no hand. Deplorable. Deplorable behavior. I do not endorse this. The J.D. Bunkus podcast does not endorse the actions of Mike Jose. Anyways, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at J.D. Bunkus. Leave a review, 5 stars for this podcast. Quick break, and then what we missed.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Time for what we missed. Again, thanks to Jackie Redmond for the time. We always appreciate getting to talk to you. Subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus. Reach out anytime. All right, fellas, what did we miss?
Skip Bayless, apparently his time at FS1 is winding down. According to the New York Post, he's going to leave Undisputed. His last couple shows will be at the end of the summer is what they're reporting. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, is like on the heels of Shannon Sharp leaving not that long ago.
I think a year ago.
Yeah. Where are you at with like, what's your thoughts on Skip, FS1, the departure?
So I think Skip never recovered from the Damar Hamlin thing. Mm. Like it was just like a brutal, we all knew what Skip was. And I actually was more of a, I think, sympathetic guy when it came to the Damar Hamlin situation. Like, I understood why athletes were so upset by the tweet because they just didn't want anybody thinking about anything in that moment other than Damar Hamlin. It was such a like real visceral moment for anyone who had played professional sports of, oh my God, this could happen. Like a guy almost died. But ultimately, I didn't think that out of everything Skip Bayless has ever done, that was the worst thing he's said by any stretch of the imagination. But I just think that it kind of, people really turned on him. It was no longer a, hey, this guy's all in good fun.
Right.
Then the follow-up happened from that with Shannon Sharp entirely, where it seemed like Shannon Sharp hated his guts.
Yes, it did.
And you couldn't get through like a clip. And I was never a viewer of the show. I was not a fan of Skip's work. That's not the kind of sports content that I like, where it's people yelling at each other and getting into huge arguments. It's clip friendly. I fall for the clips just like anybody else.
For sure.
Like I'll watch one and I go, oh, this is why it works. This is what it's for. I just don't think he has that cachet anymore. I don't think that it felt like it really turned to the corny, and even for a performative guy that it became even more so. Then all of a sudden they were kind of backtracking. He lost power of his show. They were putting other people on the panel that I was less interested in.
Right.
He felt like a secondary figure. And after Shannon was so ruthless with him, and I'm not saying unfairly or fairly whatever, but after that, it just felt like Skip being like the reason the Stephen A. Smith thing works is that he's the authority on the show.
Yeah.
And even when people push back on him, you're like, ooh, you know, he's gotten rid of people on the show. You know, like we know some of the ins and outs of it. He carries himself with that sort of authority of I'm the alpha. I'm the one. And if you're going to come at me, you got to come hard in the paint. And Skip, he became to me a little bit corny, but also I don't want to say weak. That sounds so harsh. It sounds so personal. But it didn't really feel as though when you were going at him, he was going to be able to just like come over the top and eviscerate you.
Yeah,
it was like he was working from a different position that I just don't think ever worked. And so this kind of makes sense to me. I don't know. It says he's leaving, right? So
that's
maybe
what it seems to be reporting.
Maybe this is him just understanding that if he continues to do this, it's just not going to work out for him. That it's going to continue to erode at what he is as a media figure. Like he wants to go and try to do this somewhere else. My only thing is I don't know where he's going to go and do it. Like, is this an independent move? Does he decide to just go like, maybe the route for him is just podcast, I guess.
It's funny because like you were kind of alluding to it. Like he did, like he's obviously a cheesy guy, but like the thing that's kind of been.
Yeah, nothing pissed me off more than when like Raptors Twitter like, would take like a Skip tweet and go, can you believe this guy would say this? What an idiot. Yeah. It's like, that's all he's doing is rage baiting the entire time. That was his entire move, was to get rage clicks. He's never had a tweet that he wanted you to actually enjoy or like, or that wasn't just rage farming.
Well, I think the thing for me that is like he kind of became like a caricature of himself almost with like, you knew what his shtick was the whole time, but then it became like, at least back in the old Skip and Stephen A. First Take days, like he would have some sort of opinion that was what, but now it's just like, it's the same thing over and over again. It's the bit.
Bernice, he's throwing the Cowboys jersey.
Yeah, it's the Cowboys jersey in the garbage. Yeah, it's the LeBron, whatever. Yeah. It's just the same stuff.
I will say he did have a tweet the other night that made me laugh. It was like, Bronny won the Call of Duty tournament. What does that mean about him up next on FS1? I went,
I am intrigued to watch that segment.
I know, that's what I mean. I was like,
he's got me.
He can still pump heaters.
Put the one down. Yeah, just like
he can still throw that pitch, but it's just not as frequent. And yeah, when he's surrounded by people who aren't playing ball or they're trying to turn it into something else, it's just not working. So yeah, I don't know what the move is, but I don't particularly care. but yeah, I don't think here's what I would say. I wouldn't take this as a sign of we're going away from the take artistry. Like I don't think that I've seen some people with the opinion that this is some kind of move into better sports discourse. And I went, have you seen anything on Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese lately where it's just basically civil war? You got to choose a side, even though no one's even watched them play a game. So whatever. What's next?
The Warriors are reportedly interested in Lauri Markkanen. Shams has pumped out a bunch of content on this lately. The Jazz are apparently focused on a deal that has Brandon Podziemski as well as a bunch of picks, as well as maybe Moody or Kuminga. The Warriors are kind of trying to not give all of their young guys, obviously. Is this like a needle mover for you if the Warriors were to get Markkanen? You think they're back in the tier one contender?
I don't think tier one contender. I don't think tier one contender, but Markkanen's really good.
Yeah.
He's just up in Utah and people are like, oh, they're just a tank. It's tough because when you're on a crappy team like Utah is, you go, well, what are the numbers on a bad team versus what are they on a good team? Right. I do think that he would be a very, very good fit for them. My question mark would be, could they defend? Like, how are you going to get stops with Steph and Markkanen on the floor? It's a lot of spacing. It's a lot of shooting. I think that it replaces a lot of what you would lose with the high ceiling version of Clay. Mm-hmm. My only thing of, I'm of two minds. One is I do think that it would be smart. I am a little still annoyed that the Warriors weren't more aggressive for Siakam I think that they know it. They need another scoring creator.
For sure.
And if they're willing to put Kuminga in deals now, I'm like, well, that much changed? Mm-hmm. That much changed from where you were at the deadline where you said, like, this guy's not on the table. He's the future. I get why they don't want to add Podziemski, and they should try their damnedest to stand on that. But, like, yeah, Moody is not moving the needle that's not a
They've never had enough playing time for Moody ever.
I don't know. I feel like this has now reached the point of who was I talking about this with the other day? I think it was Morosi, where it's like once you start to hear a rumor so many times over and over and over again, you start to doubt whether it's ever going to happen. And now this has reached that point for me is we've heard Markkanen to the Warriors for, I want to say, 2 weeks. Yeah. And now I'm going, yeah, I don't know. And especially since like Danny Ainge doesn't really lose these trades.
He does not.
He exerts a lot. So if he wants Podziemski and the Warriors don't want to give him up, I feel like, you know,
he doesn't cave on that stuff.
Yeah, I think he's going to suddenly move on. And it's a kind of a position, too, where I think that Utah is not desperate to move Markkanen. Would they like to move him and start to tank a little bit more? Yeah. Yes. But he's going to maintain his value throughout the course of the season, barring an injury.
I would think so, yeah.
And if you're the Warriors, my only argument for them would be, well, if Kuminga does play well or Podziemski takes another step even this season, those guys' values are only going to go up, and those picks, you know, I think they're going to be more valuable given that your team might not be a top eight team in the Western Conference this year. So I don't mind either of these sides just keeping the powder dry and Golden State looking at a different move that they could make. Like, you still get to go play with Steph Curry. That's a pretty attractive thing
like
for
another
star.
A great building and a cool city.
Yeah, so them forcing it and being like, it has to be Lauri Markkanen, I don't feel that way. I still think Siakam would have been the more seamless fit, even though the age is a little, he's older. Uh-huh. I don't know. I think if he would have re-signed in Indiana, he's going to re-sign in Golden State. When that was the whole thing about the discourse, like, oh, well, he's not going to re-sign. I was like, that's all BS. What are you talking about? Anyway, I'd like to see him on the Warriors. I don't think it's going to happen. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, again, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus. Thanks to Jackie Rubin today. Ben Nicholson Smith tomorrow. We'll see you then.